KSL at night.
Welcome back to KSL at Night. I'm your host this evening, Greg Scordis, alongside Mara Carabello. And this week in Ada County, Boise, Idaho, a trial started for Chad Daybell. And for our listeners who don't remember the name, Chad was married to Lori Vallow Daybell, and her trial went a year ago, almost to this exact week, in the same court, in the same county, with the same judge. They were charged with killing her children, Tylee and JJ. She was convicted by a jury there. The trial went about 5 weeks. The trials were separated, Mara, which is interesting. It doesn't happen very often. She was convicted. She's now in Arizona facing similar charges there. I mean, it's just horrific what these people are accused of doing. I was up there for opening statements on the first day of testimony in Lori's trial. It was really interesting. Chad's trial is still in the jury selection process. And Mara, his case is going to take much longer. Where Lori's was a 4 to 5 week trial and it ended up being about five, his, I think, is like 10 to 12. But we're going to have a guest with
the, and a big distinction would be that he has the death penalty as a potential charge, and she did not.
Correct.
Right.
Significantly.
But
big
as you
difference.
Said, I mean, jury selection is happening right now. It's super interesting because it's essentially the same juror pool. Now, they moved it from the county where the crimes occurred to a larger population.
Right.
I think we were saying in order to probably give a more chance, a dilution, if you will, of people who maybe aren't following
a
more fair trial. But super interesting, as you said, same judge, same county, and we've started jury selection. It sounds like they're interviewing potentially up to 50 people.
Right. I think they want to get to 50. We've got KSL TV's Lauren Steinbrecher, who's been there for this jury selection process. Lauren, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And you were telling me that for some reason the judge wanted to get to 50 potential jurors. And I know that it's a 12-member jury. They're going to have six alternates, so they need to end up with 18, but they need to get something like 50 qualified.
It's 50.
They've got hundreds that are being looked at. And they've qualified so far, Lauren, and correct me if I'm wrong, about 10 a day. We're at Wednesday and they're at about 30, right?
Give or take. I mean, yesterday was only four, but the day before they had, I'm trying to remember now, it was, I think, around 10 or so, and then they're still going this afternoon through, and I think they're about 30, according to Nate Eaton, who I think is the lone media person in court now. There really hasn't been that many people in court for this trial. But yeah, Lori's number, I think, was 42 or something like that, but for Chad, it's 50 that they want to reach.
And what does this process look like? Just a series of questions?
Yeah, so it is interesting. It kind of ends up, you know, each pool of people gets the same questions. It's interesting to watch because when they'll bring a pool of 16 people in, each panel is about 16 people, and they kind of go through these little spiels and they have analogies that they're making. So one is like Lindsay Blake, the Fremont County prosecutor. She makes the analogy to her son wanting cheesy eggs in the morning and having the right ingredients to make cheesy eggs. But she's trying to kind of bridge it to crime and the elements that people feel like would need to be there for someone to commit a crime. And would they be stuck in their minds that we need to have this, this, and this is evidence, or we need to follow this, this, and this rule, or the way I want to follow it, or do I understand that I need to set aside my own beliefs or my own expectations and follow what's actually happening in the court? And so they make these simple analogies to kind of explain the legal process to these potential jurors and, you know, hopefully get them to a place where they understand what's going on and that, you know, they can move forward.
And Lauren, a significant difference between this trial, Chad's trial and Lori's, is that it's a death penalty case. Have you heard the jurors asked questions about their feelings about the death penalty? Because it would seem to me, having done those in the state of Utah, that you almost have to have jurors. Well, you do have to have jurors who are willing to follow the law. Mm-hmm. And that might mean that you're willing to follow the law as it relates to the death penalty. Mm-hmm. How has that been addressed in this selection process?
You know, the very first morning, first group of jurors, there was actually a potential juror who held up her card and said, I have a problem with the death penalty. I don't believe in it. And that was like from the get-go. Like they weren't even in individual, you know, voir dire, individual questioning at that point. And so they were probing people, mostly in that individual setting, you know, what do you believe about the death penalty? If you were to find Chad Daigle guilty, would you automatically default to the death penalty because they don't necessarily want a juror who's like, oh yeah, I'm, you know, death penalty all the way if you're convicted of murder. But you also don't want a juror that says, I have personal beliefs or religious beliefs or whatever it may be. I don't believe in the death penalty. You want to find somebody who is willing to consider it with other options and give it, you know, the fair and partial look that they would give this trial in general. And so we've been seeing that with every person that they've been questioning.
So I want to talk for a second about the pacing of this and the visibility to the public. So Lori's trial was noted because the judge tried to keep a little bit of a lid on it, control the situation. We're hearing now that Chad's trial is going to be live streamed. What are you hearing about press access and the visibility of this trial?
Yeah, with Lori's, it was no cameras in the courtroom, no streaming. You had to be there in person. So we had publications from around the country, around the world showing up, people showing up from all over the country. And it kind of, you know, for lack of a better term, created a little bit of a zoo. You know, they had barriers outside of the courtroom to keep people in line and to keep all the cameras and everything under control for Chad's, because they are live streaming it and they are live streaming the jury selection process. You know, they're not showing the jurors, but you can hear everything that's going on. You can see the courtroom. There was not a lot of people that showed up. There wasn't a lot of news stations that showed up. I was one of the few reporters in there. And so I think because people are able to stay home, they're able to watch it, they can have access. You know, they don't have to travel all the way there and be in the courtroom to understand what's going on. It's made it a little bit easier for those of us who have, you know, who want to be in the courtroom and have those observations to actually get a place inside, because last year it was like a ticket system and you had to get on, and right at the moment they opened the reservations, you had to get one. But I think it's made it a little bit easier all around to just follow what's happening.
And speaking of jurors, these cases can take quite a toll. And it's really interesting, Lauren. We're speaking with Lauren Steinbrecher from KSL TV. But you were able to find and interview a juror from the Lori Vallow trial who's actually been up at Chad's, sort of watching parts of it. Talk to our listeners about that juror and his perspective on that particular trial.
Yeah, Tom Evans. So I saw him that first morning and ended up talking to him briefly in the courtroom and then, you know, interviewing him later and talking to him at length, kind of over the 2 days. You know, one thing you don't think about as much is the emotional toll it took. You know, he came into this case, obviously was impartial enough, had not heard enough about the case that he made it through to that final jury, that final, you know, 12 that ended up being seated. And then to see all of the evidence, all of the facts, the pictures, the testimony, and it's all coming at him at once over the course of these weeks. He said it was so hard. It was heavy. It was dark. It was a lot of responsibility on him because, you know, yes, you're looking at the justice system. You're hopefully, you know, bringing justice to people, but you're learning all of this stuff. And then he's got the weight of, I'm the person who is partly making this decision on, you know, that has such a ripple effect. And he said that, you know, after the trial was over, he had to take time to really try to heal. He had to work through his own process. And that was something that as he came in and observed with Chad's trial, that these people are about to embark on that same kind of journey. And they've got the weight of the death penalty. He actually told me he was glad he did not have the decision of a death, death penalty to make, because that would have just been a lot.
Makes it twice as hard. Yeah. Lauren Steinbrecher, yes. KSL TV. Thank you for joining us. And hopefully I'll see you up there next week for opening remarks.
Yeah, thank you.
When we come back after the break, we have an interesting guest, one of our Dave and Debbie hosts, Dujanovic particularly, who's going to talk to us about a program that she's doing for conference weekend. Stay with us.